Most true. I think it's Oregon, isn't it, brother? And Brother Parson is going to speak to us on the riches in glory. The riches in glory, Brother Parson.
Your brother, now you couldn't help but think of Brother Hannum was bringing you that load of love from back home, like it was quite a heavy load, but I can assure you it was a light and joyful load that we brought with us, because not only were we happy to remember the dear ones as we come along to you and their expression of love to you, but we have received rich blessings. And as Brother Hannum told you how our Lord and Master received in glory riches and power, how are we going to get a hold of some of those riches and glory? And maybe we can, I'm sure we can, find in some of these thoughts that may be privileged to bring to you how we may share in some of the riches and glory. I think of the Apostle Paul. He wrote about riches and glory that are available to us. And he was writing in his letter to the Philippians, and when he wrote that letter, he was held a prisoner in Rome. And the occasion, I think, for writing possibly this letter was a messenger, Epaphroditus, had come and brought a gift to him. I don't know what it was, whether it was clothing, whether it was some sweets, or whether it was some provisions of various kinds that he could use in his confinement. But whatever it was a great blessing to Paul. And when he said in the first chapter, joy upon every remembrance of you, it's peculiar how we can think we can remember these things, then we forget them quickly. Philippians, the first chapter, and the fourth verse, third verse, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in my prayer, every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy. Well, how would the Apostle Paul have much joy in looking back to the little class in Philippi? You recall some of the things that came to him there. He was called over to Philippi by the Lord. There was a call, didn't it say, from Philippi? There was. And he met the dear brethren there at Philippi and formed this little class, but it wasn't long until he did something that caused the multitude to raise up against him. He was beaten and thrown into prison, he and Silas. That was pretty rough. Then remember how the Lord released him, and then even the jailer, he was so affected by what the Lord had done for him. He asked Paul about these things, and Apostle Paul, even in his bleeding from his wounds, suffering from these things, he was ready to tell him about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he did such a good job that the jailer and his whole family accepted the truth and was baptized. Now that is something to look back with joy, wasn't it? He'd forgotten about his beatings. He just remembered the joy that he had and the privileges with the dear ones there in Philippi. And now as he remembers these things, and then those brethren in Philippi had remembered to send a messenger to him and bring him something. Well, I can just see the Apostle Paul, how he did appreciate that. I know the Apostle Paul, no doubt many times in his journeys, he reminded the friends of the poor Jews in Jerusalem. They were the Christians there. I mean, not the poor Jews, but the Christian Jews in Jerusalem. They weren't in high favor with the multitude in Jerusalem because of following Jesus. And no doubt they may have had property taken away from them, had a hard time. And so in Paul's journeys, he mentioned to the friends, well, now, if you feel that you would like to send a little bit to our brethren in Jerusalem, I know it can be arranged. If you will put it in store, we'll get it to the friends. And thinking of that, and thinking of what they had just done for the Apostle Paul, I want to read to you what the Apostle Paul wrote to those in Corinth, comparing those brethren, what they should be doing, and what those in Macedonia had done. This is in the second chapter of Corinthians, and the eighth verse, the eighth chapter, and the first five verses. And I'll read this. I copied out of Weymouth translation, because it brings it just a little bit dearer to us. But we desire to let you know, brethren, you in Corinth, of the grace of God, or we might say the riches in glory, which has been bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. In Macedonia is where Paul was called over there, and then I think of the map, as you look at it, there was Philippi, and then down a little ways further was Thessalonica and Berea. You know about those people. Well, then he says, now, how the riches and glory had been bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How, while passing through great trouble, their boundless joy, even amid their deep poverty, has overflowed to increase their generous liberality. For I can testify that to the utmost of their power, and even beyond their power, they have of their own free will given help. With earnest entreaty, they begged from us the favor of being allowed to share in the service now being rendered to God's people. I'll read that over. That is, they asked for the, could I? I'd willingly do it, and I want to do it. I wish I could arrange, if you can arrange so I can do it, I want to do that. With earnest entreaty, they begged from us the favor of being allowed to share in the service now being rendered to God's people. They not only did this, as we had expected, and here's the sweetest part of this, but first of all, in obedience to God's will, they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us. Now, if that isn't a gem, in other words, the Apostle Paul is telling them what a joy has been to him. Not only in their poverty they were ready to divide and give to the Lord's people, but first of all, which pleased him most, they gave their heart to the Lord. Then I believe, and he's bringing out an argument there, and we also see it in Philippians, that riches and glory are awaiting every one of God's people that have that spirit of wanting to do for others. This could well be brought out here in the fourth chapter of Philippians, as the Apostle Paul had received this gift through the generosity of Epaphroditus. And you remember, some way or other, I don't know whether it was the hardship of Epaphroditus to get to Rome, but he was very sick there, and he said that it was because of the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. That is pretty strong, isn't it? But he really appreciated what his servant Epaphroditus had done for him. Well, now in the fourth chapter, he talks a little about this. Let's begin with the 15th verse of the fourth chapter of Philippians. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now let's see, look at that again now. He didn't especially need a gift, he says, from them. I get along all right, but I do desire that fruit or evidence that may abound, that be an evidence of your love of God, may abound to your account. Some way or other, what they had done for the Apostle Paul is laying up something in an account. Could we say a heavenly bank account, as it were? Not that I desire fruit or... No, he says, not that I desire a gift, but I do desire, or I'm looking for, an evidence that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full. I have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. This gift from you was an odor of sweet smell. You think of a sweet smell, you think of the fragrance of the incense on the golden altar in the tabernacle picture that was acceptable to our Heavenly Father as it floated into the Most Holy and made that sacrifice acceptable. That was the intense sacrifice of our Lord, the perfection of His humanity offered in His sacrifice, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Well, Paul might say, I wish I'm in prison. I'm here in chains and bonds. I wish I could do something for you, dear brethren in Philippi. I'm unable to do anything. I can write you a letter, but how can I do anything that will reward you? It will be a real reward. Let's read the next verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. How? By Christ Jesus. As our Lord was faithful unto death, exalted on high, He could give riches to us, couldn't He? And He did appear in the presence of God for us, and we have received richly from our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. We as the Lord's people, I believe we could say that we are in more need, actually, than anyone else in the world. We are on trial for life. We need everything that we can get of help from our Heavenly Father, from our Lord in glory, from one another. We need these things. And sometimes we talk about needs. You'd be surprised in the general experiences of life we have. Lots of us think we need a lot of things. Many times we have luxuries when we don't fulfill our actual needs. But maybe as we grow older, we see some of the brethren, they do really need things that they don't have, and they have luxuries that they actually do not need. But we know that you and I will be supplied the needs for our spiritual growth in Him, because they're there for us. But we want to know how we can get them. How can I draw out of that heavenly bank account? It's there. It's made available for us. Riches and glory. Well, there are many evidences of riches, of miracles performed that our Heavenly Father has performed. We think of the miracles. Maybe it might be good to contrast some of the things that He did for natural Israel and maybe compare with what He has done for spiritual Israel. We think of deliverance of natural Israel, the nation of Israel out of Egypt, by Moses. How they did need that deliverance. We might say uppermost was the deliverance of the firstborn by the slaying of the typical lamb. Now we look over here and think of you and me as needing the shed blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We have that benefit of our Lord's ransom sacrifice now in advance of the world. We are receiving our deliverance. And then, of course, the whole nation of Israel was delivered in the Red Sea, and we look forward to the deliverance of the whole world of mankind also, that our Lord can carry out, because He has that power. There will be riches and glory for the world also. In Moses, taking him through the wilderness, there is an instance of miracle that it's amazing. Didn't the scripture say that their clothes didn't wax old, or their shoes? Why, 40 years, children come up, and I don't know, you just can't figure it out. I can't. It's a miracle. It's how the Lord provides just for His natural people. Well, what do you suppose He can do for Him? The spiritual ones that really are in harmony with Him and asking for it and receiving riches from on high. What do we have for clothing? Does that clothing that we have wax old? The robe of Christ's righteousness is always with us. The merit of our Lord's perfect human sacrifice given on our behalf is available for us, and we do appreciate it. And let it never grow old or lack of appreciation. Then they were given manna, weren't they, as they went through the wilderness. They had to go out and work for it. They had to pick it up, and they had even quail for meat and so on. Miracles, every one. Riches from their God. Well, we don't have to do much comparing to think of the food that we have, dear brethren. The food that's put on our table that we say it is brought to us by our present Lord through the studies in the Scriptures, through the use of that wise and faithful servant. And I know we appreciate it. We appreciate the table given to us. And in thinking how we appreciate this and what the Lord has done for us, we realize that that's nothing that we've put on. It's none of ours. The Lord gave it to us. Peter said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humility is required in every one of us, realizing where this comes from, that he may exalt us in due time. And I like to think of the blessedness of those that come to the 1,335 days, Daniel 12 and something, Daniel 12, looking forward to the 1,335 days, 1874, the return of our Lord, a blessedness. Then in connection with that, we have in Luke, our Lord's words, Luke 12 and 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he arrives, will find watching. Were there any watching when our Lord returned? There were some. As we read the history that Brother Russell and others have given us of those, there were various ones. Brother Russell was one, and who were some of the others? Brother Patton, and you remember any Brother Ostrander? Remember any others? There's three or four of them there that were really searching the Scriptures, realizing Brother Miller was looking for the Lord's return, and then here was this period went by, and now they were looking for it again. And then the secret of it was parousia, wasn't it? Then they realized why. As it was in the days of Noah, so it'll be in the days of the presence, parousia, the Son of Man. And then they got these things together, and they were watching for the Lord when he arrived. Blessed are those servants. Then he said, he would gird himself, make them sit down, and he would give them meat in due season. Then following that, how he shows how he selected one, Brother Russell, and used him to bring that to us. There's the food we have. We're very thankful for it. And as Moses was the leader for natural Israel, how the Lord used many miracles with Moses, now we have we don't have a mediator. We have, what do we call it? An advocate we have with the Father. As we think of our Lord in glory, accepting, taking our petition, sort of presenting the Father, there was I read a while ago a very pointed little story that will illustrate an advocate. It did it to me. I enjoyed it because it made it clearer to me. There was a case where a young man had been caught in committing a crime. Not only one, but he's guilty of more than one. And he was brought in before the judge. Bailiff brought him into the courtroom, and the judge was sitting up there. He was afraid to even look at him because he knew he was guilty, and his head hung down, and he heard the prosecuting attorney read the charges, and he realized, it's right, I'm guilty as can be. And he glanced over there, and there was the jury over there. They're all kind of glaring down at him. There he was, the poor boy standing there, waiting for the sentence. And all at once it got kind of quiet in there, and he took a glance up at the judge, and he saw the judge had motioned for the prosecuting attorney to come over. And they whispered a little bit at the bench, and the prosecuting attorney came down to the boy, and he put his arm around him, and he said, Judge, I want to plead for this lad. He said, my father, I'm asking for mercy for this, my brother. That's what our Lord has done. But it was the judge's idea. And the prosecuting attorney turned himself into an advocate, a helper, an attorney in defense of that boy. So we have an advocate with the Heavenly Father that he's doing, our Lord Jesus, doing that for us. We have that promise then that in all of our experiences, God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He tells us in the sixth verse, be careful for nothing, or don't have any anxious care about these things, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And we know that as they have to pick up the manna in the wilderness, we have to ask, seek, knock. We have to do something about it to receive these rich blessings from the Lord. Are we expected to give anything? Do we give anything so that we can receive these blessings? Yes, we do, dear brethren. When we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I give you my all. I want to do your will. Not my will anymore, but your will to be done. We say, well, what have I got to offer? I have nothing really to offer. Oh, yes. Yes, dear brethren, we realize we have. We have a reckoned, perfect human life, like we would have at the end of the millennial age. That is what we can offer, as made reckonedly perfect by our Lord's sacrifice. Then we have something to offer. So then we can have the joy of being buried with him in baptism, suffering with him, that we may reign with him. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And these, we have cares, many, don't we? But we realize that our Heavenly Father has such a loving care over us. And we wonder sometimes, how careful am I? In the little things of life, am I showing that I really do care? Do I, in around the home, do I kind of think about some little thing once in a while? Throw my coat on the floor or slam the door? No, the Lord's people are careful. We think of our friends, and even in the little things, like he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in the great things. No, those that we love our Heavenly Father, our Lord, our brethren, and those we love, we are going to be careful. Many ways our God has shown his riches and glory, as it were, even in past times. I'm thinking Elijah. Elijah, how bold he was when he caused the prophets of Baal to be killed. And then he, realizing what he had done, he wondered, uh-oh, what's Jezebel going to say about this? And then she did say, didn't she, that your life isn't worth much now. And then he started running, and he was really afraid. But God was watching over him. He was given food along by the brook, Chidron, I guess something like that. Then for quite a while he was given food there, and later he stopped at a widow in Zarephath. She was suffering from the drought. She only had a little oil, a little meal left. But Elijah was he just a little selfish there when he said, "Have you got some food that I've gone a long way, I'm hungry?" She says, "I have just enough to make a couple of cakes for myself and my son, and then we're through, we'll die." Elijah says, "Well, could you give me one of those cakes?" But I think he explained to her, I'm sure he did. He said, "Now, dear lady, if you will do that, you'll never lack of oil or meal until your next crop comes in." That's the way the Lord does take care of us. Prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Well, we can, having the faith in our Heavenly Father, we realize that his riches and glory are there for us. And like the song says, content whatever lot I see, knowing it is my God that leadeth me. We think of riches and glory, and we wonder, well, now, where do they come from? Well, we can quote a scripture, of course, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. That's true. Well, just how long is our Heavenly Father going to continue to bless us, continually give us these things day by day? Will they run out? Never will they run out. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." There's a full supply waiting for us, we know. What about the Lord's people? We suffer sometimes, and do we ask the Lord to relieve us of physical suffering? These are riches in glory. They were given to natural Israel. Can we expect some of these same things? Well, sometimes the friends kind of hope the Lord would give them a little help in our temporal things. I'm reminded of Paul and his conversion. Remember, he lost his eyesight and he had it partially restored. Then Paul asked to be relieved of that. That's in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Apostle Paul asked if he could be relieved of that. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. He asked for it, but he didn't expect to get it. Because, you know, he answers his own question before he asks it, really. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Bless his heart, he knew what was the best thing for him. Riches and glory was far better, he realized, than any restoration of his eyesight. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Then that lovely testimony from the Apostle Paul, I'd like to follow it up with, turn the page over in Galatians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. Writing to the Galatians, he said, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation," or what would you say, "my physical weakness, which was in my flesh, he despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." There is some pretty valuable friends the Apostle Paul had, doesn't it? And he appreciated the fellowship and the generosity, the love expressed by these dear brethren. But even those things are minor compared to the riches and glory that we have, the assistance we have, the gifts or the help we have of the Holy Spirit. We have a thought given to us here in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. The Apostle Paul there gives a promise to generosity. Carrying out the same thought there that he was writing to the Philippians. "He that soweth sparingly, reapeth sparingly. He that soweth bountifully, reapeth bountifully." Surely that is an operation of God's law, isn't it? Then I just have to look at that a minute here. That's the 2 Corinthians 9. Because sometimes we read scriptures, read a verse, and we can read them over kind of quickly, and sounds all right. I've heard that verse before, but let me read this 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. I can read it like maybe a schoolboy. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." When we read, we just like to put a line under some of these precious words. Abundance, that's the way our Heavenly Father does for us. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. My, that has everything in it, doesn't it? That's what our Heavenly Father is just able and willing and ready to do for us. Abundance. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. Thankful for these things. They are encouraging to us. We know that we need to once in a while have these called to our attention. We realize, too, how our Lord mentioned there in the 8th chapter, the 9th verse, where you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich with our Heavenly Father as the Logos, remember that Proverbs 8 and something, isn't it? I was always by him, his daily delight or something. It's lovely in one of the translations, Lister, I believe it is, how I was his master workman, always beside of him. And what a privilege that was of the Logos, of being the mouthpiece of the Lord and his agency in creation. Then what did he do? Though he was rich, he had that position, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Just a thought there of maybe we can sacrifice a little bit once in a while for our brethren, hoping by doing a little for our brethren, thinking of others, doing something maybe they don't know about, but we know our Heavenly Father knows. I know what we'll receive in turn. Apostle Paul says he we're going to receive riches from our Heavenly Father. Well, you think what? Rich in money? Well, no. Sometimes we're better off without it. No, rich in hope. Rich in faith. Rich in love in all the various beautiful graces of the Spirit. We hope we can cultivate these more each day, dear brethren. We realize it's only as we have these graces developed in our new mind, new creation, as we have a character developed there, like our Lord, through his 3.5 years of obedience, day after day, carrying out his Father's will. And these aren't the words that I speak of myself. My Heavenly Father told me what to say. That's all I'm just telling. That is obedience, dear brother, daily. Daily obedient. And if we can do this, we can hope to receive riches. Whatever riches we need, our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of. Well, we have to hurry along. I think we're getting kind of... There's one thought more in the dealing with natural Israel. I want to read in Malachi. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Our Lord there is speaking, God is speaking, as it were, to his people, Israel. Malachi 3 and 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. And it's a good thing I don't change, he says. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there will be not room enough to receive it. That's our Heavenly Father. He's so ready, if we show a desire, inclination, to give. Not money especially, that's good. We know they're still sending out Frank and Ernest programs, and it needs that to keep it going, doesn't it? But we have other things. Many of us have talents. We have time. Sometimes we get just, if we're invalid or something, we can write a letter. I enjoy receiving letters. Seems like the letters we receive from back home and from the friends, they're encouraging. But it takes time. They have to sit down and say, my, I have to write a letter, I guess. That isn't it. I want to write a letter. I want to write to this. I wish we had more time. And they do. You can tell by the spirit in letters that are written that they love to write them. And when you write a letter, don't write it as a, like it's a terrible burden, but write it because you love to write it. And then it really can bring a blessing. And there are many, many ways we can show our Heavenly Father that we would like to receive from that heavenly bank account some of those riches in glory. Yes, our willingness to sacrifice more of our time for the truth's sake, maybe in visiting our brethren, writing to our brethren, doing little deeds of thoughtfulness for our brethren, this kind of an offering to the Lord will surely make all grace abound to you. Well, we have to close there, I guess. What's our time? About there, isn't it? I want to read that verse over again to you. Philippians 4 and 4 and 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then we could quote again in this Romans text, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans 11:33. I hope in going over these things, dear brethren, think of maybe some of the ways you can think of them just as well as I can that you may do to show your love for your Heavenly Father, keeping up your vow of consecration daily, because we do want to receive richly from our Heavenly Father. They're there for us. Our Lord was obedient in carrying out his sacrifice, and all power in heaven is given to him to bestow them upon you and me. So if we can have greater confidence in these promises, privileges of our narrow way, why, I believe that we can be blessed by these thoughts. And may the Lord bless them to you, and I'm thankful for this privilege. So happy to see you, and I know if we had a little more time to visit with you, we would learn to love you more. The Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Parsons. We sure did appreciate that wonderful message that you gave us. And I'm sure that we all love you, too, and wish that you could spend more time with us. Dear friends, Brother Hannum, Brother Parsons had extended their love and greetings from their ecclesias and also from the friends that they had visited. And on behalf of the class, we thank you, Brother Hannum and Brother Parsons, and I'm sure would like to have our class added to that list, the richest blessings to all that you will serve. All in favor, say aye, signify by the right hand. And now, dear friends, we'll use hymn number 206 to close our meeting. Thank you. And Brother Parsons now to dismiss us with prayer.
Lord, dear Father in heaven, at the close of this service, we bow our hearts before Thee, humility of mind and heart, so grateful to Thee for the rich blessings that have been ours, that we have been called to Thee in having our eyes opened, our ears unstopped to the beautiful things of Thy gracious plan of salvation, especially for the privileges of the narrow way, made possible by our Lord's obedience and death, His resurrection, His power in heaven, to bring to us these things and permit us to have the experiences with Thy consecrated ones. And we have tonight Thy special care and blessing with each one here. We separate, we realize that we have each one have our own peculiar experiences that are permitted to come. And we do pray that they may cultivate in us more of the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit. Bless all of our brethren wherever they are, the comfort, seeing them as crazy. Forgive us when we have come short. And we ask and thank you in Jesus' dear name.
Amen. Amen.